just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, yeah. I've got breaking news.
Breaking, read all
Grab
about
some
it.
Some glue, we got to put it back together because we got news.
We got official news, y'all.
We started our patch business because they were unusual.
Yeah.
And something that I could do lots of unusual art with. And almost instantly we got met with people saying, are you going to make pins?
Right.
Are you going to make pins?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you going to make pins? This would make a great pin. Pin.
Well, pins are very big. The acrylic pins are enormously big in the Disney community, and they're gorgeous, and I love all of them.
Right.
So it's fair that they would say that. There's actually over 100,000 different Disney pins.
100,000
pins? Did you know that? That's what I said.
Oh, we got a lot of collecting to do.
I know. I thought we were doing good now that we're up to like 40. Apparently, there's
I've heard of people dropping like $300 a day on pins.
On pins? Oh,
that's a lot of pins.
If we had the money, I might do it.
Well, here's my thing is like, I'm picky about the pins that I like.
Yeah.
And so I don't walk into a store and think I want all of them. I'm a little more picky about what I like.
That's very right. There's a lot. I don't want them.
Sure. But there is one that you do want.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you want it.
There is?
Yes.
Is it brand new?
It's brand new. We have broken into the pin.
Yes.
How exciting is that?
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. People are already very excited about it, actually.
Right? I'm excited about it.
That's true.
We get a lot of messages, people asking about pins.
Uh-huh.
And so we decided we would venture out into pins and see what we would do.
Uh-huh.
And we decided to go with a design that we already have that we know people are really fond of.
Yeah, are we allowed to say that it's actually our most popular patch ever is the Trader Sam two of your heads for one of mine patch?
I lost my head at Trader Sam's patch.
That's what it is,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is by far our most popular patch. We sell them constantly. And so we figured what better patch to turn into a pin than the one that sells like crazy? Because now here's the truth. When I made the Trader Sam patch,
mm-hmm.
I thought I was being clever. I thought I was remembering a obscure character, at the very end of the Jungle
ride.
Cruise,
mm-hmm.
that people sometimes don't remember the name. I thought I was being super clever. And so I put it up thinking, it's a shrunken head. It says, I lost my head at Trader Sam's. It's kind of kitschy. Some people will get it. We'll see what they think.
Well, it's the reason we had to start putting up video clips on because a lot of people that we did know were asking us what it meant.
They're right.
Like, what is this exactly? So we put a video clip up on the website showing that part of the ride.
Right.
Specifically because we wanted people to have a better reference of what we were talking about.
Right. And then all of a sudden, we started selling them.
Tons of them.
A lot of them. And I was going, I mean, I know Jungle Cruise is popular, but what? Why
true.
Are we selling so many of these? And then come to find out, there's an entire bar called Trader Sam's at the Disney parks that I had no idea about because I don't drink. And so I'd never been to the Trader Sam's
and
bar.
We don't stay at Disney World very often.
Right.
Especially at that point, we had only once or twice.
Right. And so I was like, oh, I had no idea that this Disney Tiki community was so vibrant and so active.
Right.
And people really subscribe to the Tiki aesthetic and to this Trader Sam character. And I had unknowingly tapped into a community that I didn't know existed.
Completely true.
And I'm completely grateful for them, though, because we've sold a lot of patches, and well, it's really exciting.
And we had some of the skippers from the ride really like the patch as well. And
yeah, we've had some Disney employees that really enjoy.
And I'm telling you guys, your Instagrams are amazing and fun to follow as well.
Absolutely.
You guys are way cooler than we are.
The speak skippers, for yourself.
The skippers on the boat. Listen, yeah. If I had a dream job, I would totally give
You'd
those people.
You'd be a skipper on the
I love cruise. The dry humor so much.
So we went ahead and just took the same design and shrunk it down to pin sized.
Yeah, a lot of the designs actually don't lend themselves to the pins because pins you are limited on what you can do on a pin.
Right.
They're much smaller.
They're made out of metal. Yeah.
Words are basically not a possibility, and a lot of our patches have words on them. So
right.
So in the future, we're probably going to have to do different designs specifically for pins.
Right. If these sell really well and people are interested in more pins, I'm definitely open to designing things specifically for pins.
Yeah.
Totally down for it. We just have to have it be popular enough to do.
Yeah.
And like you said, pin trading within the Disney community is so rampant.
That is a very good point. Yep.
Just as much as the Tiki Disney community, there are people that are in love with pins and pin trading and pin
collecting. Over 100,000 designs, and there's trading conventions that will go on. And
right.
Yeah, so lots of support behind the pin community.
Yeah, what I didn't know is that this pin trading, the trading aspect of it specifically, became official at Disney only in 99.
Really?
So they saw that people were trading in the parks and decided to make a Disney official trading type situation in 1999.
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
I felt like it had been going on forever, but maybe it was just my ignorance.
Yeah, I thought so too, because they get the acrylic pins from really like the Olympics, where they're one of the first people that put them out.
Right.
Where those pins, and they liked them because they're metal, they're substantial, they're easy to travel with, that kind of thing. Well, they used to be. I don't know if they are now.
That's
now
true.
They're a weapon.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't. But that's about the same time, though, is that the Olympic pins really, like, they grew in popularity, and they really, in 1996, when Atlanta had their games here,
mm-hmm.
that's when they really hit their peak. And they made over 35 million pins for the Atlanta Olympics. Can you believe that?
I have some
that?
Of them, yeah.
We do have some, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we totally are not going to be trading those.
We can't. There are rules that we'll get to with Disney pin trading.
There are rules.
There are rules.
And
they take this seriously.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, pins, like you said, are more recent than I thought they would be.
But what I love about the idea of the pin tradings through the Olympic storyline is mm-hmm. that it was a way of, and I used to go to raves a lot as well, and you would make beaded bracelets and stuff, and you would trade those during the night that you were meeting people and stuff. You
were
know?
Trading crafts with people.
We thought we were way cooler than that, but yes, that's exactly what we were doing. And what I love about both those concepts, and the same thing that Disney, I think, is going to support, unless you'd like ruin me with the rules in a minute, is that it really promotes friendship in the parks, and as a way of, you know, mm-hmm. showing, you know, respect and being friendly with each other. And you only did it with people that you thought were like, that you were friends with.
And like touching other parts of the world, because people can come in with pins from other parks, from other countries, you know, like
right.
you can find things in the pin trading community that you probably wouldn't find on your own normally.
There's no way you could.
Right.
You can't keep up with all of that.
Not unless you are independently wealthy and willing to spend it all on pins. Because some of them spins are expensive.
Then you have other issues that you have to talk about.
Right.
You'll be on hoarders before you know it.
Pin hoarders.
All right.
Yeah, I was surprised at how many rules there are to pin trading at Disney, though.
What are they?
Well, for instance, you can only trade two pins with a cast member.
Okay.
They only let you do two. If the cast member takes off their lanyard and gives it to somebody else, you can then trade two with that person, but it can only be two per cast member, apparently.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And when trading, you never grab somebody else's pins. You always say, "Can I see that one?" And they lift it up to you, so you're not reaching out and grabbing hold of their stuff.
That's a
just kind of manners kind of stuff,
right.
I think. And also, when you're trading, you always take the pin off and put the safety on the back before handing it to somebody. Because those things are pointy.
Yes, completely right.
Especially if you're trading with a child or something, you don't want to maim a child with a trading pin, you know?
Right. Good rules. I support all of these rules.
Also, all good rules. The one downside to our pins is they wouldn't be tradable. Not that you'd want to, because they're so pretty. But Disney pins, they're very specific about... They have to be Disney-made pins to trade in the parks.
Yep.
Now, you can trade them with other people if they're willing to do so. But the Disney people in general... the cast members are not
allowed to accept
fake
ones. Don't they
have
to have like the Mickey design on the back, basically?
Yeah, and Disney, I think the Disney people are trained to know when they're real and when they're not real.
Right.
By a couple different factors. I'm sure sometimes some slip past them, but in general, I think they're pretty good at spotting a fake.
Ours are not character driven as much though, so there's no way you'd ever get ours mistaken for like
a
Disney pin.
Yeah.
They're pretty different. They're obscure.
They're obscure. That's the whole point. I've seen a lot of people in the pin community, even in the small pin community, the people that are making them individually, they do tend to all kind of look more like Disney made pins.
Okay, yeah.
And I definitely veer away from that. Just my artistic self won't allow me to just copy somebody else's artwork and make into a pin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's illegal, but...
Well, that too. But just my artistic pride makes me want to create, right? And so I think our pins will, you know, this one especially, but if we do more, we'll definitely be different from what you would see at a Disney park anyway.
Yeah.
But we have lots of pins, like we've said.
Our personal collection of Disney pins that we've gotten at the parks.
What is your philosophy for buying pins?
So I'm very specific that if I'm going to have mine, I want them to be on a very themed lanyard. Mm. And so we have all of our lanyards and they have to be within a theme.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that I won't buy a pin that I love. If I love a pin, I would like it to fit inside a theme. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm really, especially like through Disney, through Disneyland's Diamond.
Mm, they had lots of shiny
so things. Many pretty ones. And so it was really easy to like, I'm going to buy all these this year because these are all going to fit with inside that realm fairly easily.
Right.
And then we have another one that's all pink. So they're all pink on that one. Then there's another one that's kind of like Halloween and dark characters.
Mm-hmm.
You have another one where it's all, they're couples that you buy two pins of the same on each one. We have a lot of, so they all
I think that's a good kind of rule of thumb for people, because there's so many pins. If you can narrow down what you're looking for, it can help you kind of narrow your choices down a bit,
right?
You know, for instance, like you said, with my couples lanyard, I would look for pairs that I really enjoyed, and I'm looking for usually two pins on a thing, so I know I'm looking for those. You know, I'm looking for pins that look good when they're next to each other. And it turns into more than just looking at a giant wall of pins,
right?
I'm narrowing down my search to specific things, you know. And we try to get a pin based on our experience for that trip a lot of the time too. So it's a good kind of rule of thumb to kind of know what you're looking for, because otherwise you might just end up buying everything,
which is very possible. And if you do find a pin that you absolutely fall in love with, you have to buy it then, because it's a good possibility that it won't be there the next time that you come back.
Right.
Or that it will be discontinued without notice, because there's no rhyme or reason to why they do it. They just,
right.
You know, they probably know why we do it. They do it, but we don't.
Right.
They had the villain pins, right? The potion villain pins that you were...
Oh, I had the Scent of Evil, I believe is what they were called. Probably. And they had perfume and cologne bottles that were based on the villains.
The pins were shaped as those bottles.
Right. And they were super cool, but they only put out like a thousand into the parks, and then they were gone.
Yeah.
And you had to ask for them specifically because they didn't just have them out.
Yeah.
And it turned into Essence of Evil. That's what it was called.
Essence of Evil. Yeah.
It turned into something that was fun, but also very stressful.
Yep.
it could be. And so, you know, I'm not a person that wants to make my Disney trip more stressful.
Right.
So it was fun for me to get them when they were there. I was super excited about it. But it was also very stressful because I knew that I wasn't going to be there for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, I'm not going to finish this set. So I can't put that in my mind that I have to get all of them.
Right.
Because it will drive me crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Completely true. And they weren't... and I like the ones that are very pretty. Like...
You like the shiny things.
It has to be ornate and cool. And if they flip open and do other things, I like all those too. But
right.
Yeah, those are all my requirements for a pin, typically speaking. But then I have like the random one that's like the e-ticket book from back in the day that I, for some reason, just love the vintage pins. I wanted to do a whole vintage lanyard of like all the vintage stuff.
We haven't done that, though.
We haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
And that might be a good one to start.
But your first one was a really big one.
The World of Color.
The World of Color spinny wheel
one. Spun.
Jeez, that one was a serious purchase. Like that thing.
It was. It is. I love it still.
It's super cool.
And interestingly enough, I'm not allowed to wear the pins into the park actually because I lose them so frequently.
You definitely do.
But I just invested now in locking backs, and those things are phenomenal.
Right.
I love those locking backs so much. Like, I should have bought them years ago.
You honestly should have. And they do sell them in the park, but they are very expensive in the park.
And they're different in the park. The ones in the parks, like, they go on and you need an Allen wrench and stuff to do it. Mine are like, there's a spring inside of it that, you know, you would typically see. Just go on Etsy, you'll find them. They're great.
Yeah.
And you get like 50 for 10 bucks. So you'll have a lifetime supply, basically.
Well, unless you're spending $300 a day on pins.
And then you need the locking backs even more because we've bought one pin 3 separate times.
Oh, that dang pin.
Which it's also Pink Princess pin, I think it is.
It is a Pink Princess pin.
Love it.
And you lost it on Indy, you lost it on teacups, you lost it on Space Ranger spin. That pin became the bane of our existence.
So that's when we decided if you want to keep them nice, you can't wear them to the parks.
Right. And you have to know that if you're wearing a lot of pins around to the parks, people will try to trade with you on occasion. So I don't buy burner pins, which are what people call the pins that you're willing to trade. I buy pins that I specifically want. So the idea of someone being like, I'll trade you for that one is like,
no,
I bought this one specifically because I wanted it.
It goes on a very specific lanyard at home.
Yeah.
Ready for me when I get there.
I have a theme.
Right.
You need to understand.
The stretching room portrait ones, too, that were all done with Oogie Boogie and those. Like,
yeah, the Nightmare Before Christmas characters.
That was a fun collection.
That one, I think.
And this is what gets... Who knows?
It's been a year. Who knows?
May not come back next year.
True.
It's hard to say. But that's the thing is that if you want to buy each one of the pins, those are only 10 bucks a piece, but you had to buy all 4, all 6 of them, whatever it was.
Right.
And so that's how you easily are down the rabbit hole.
This is how people spend $50 to $100 a person in the park per day, because you see things that you don't think you need until you see them.
And then you're like, I need that. I need all of
them. I almost bought a phone case for a phone I didn't own because I liked the phone case so much.
Crazy.
It's dumb, but you know, that's the curse and blessing of Disney is you go in there and you live in a fantasy world for the whole day, and then you walk out, you know, wind blown on the other side and go, what just happened? What did I spend money on today?
Our pin is pretty exciting though, that it does have a double pin back so that it will stay upright the entire time.
Right.
And you have double the chances of making sure that it's locked on permanently.
Yeah.
So you won't lose it as quickly. Thank goodness.
And it's super colorful. Those of you that have seen our Trader Sam pin, you know that the shrunken head is a super fun, bright green color, and the hair is like a fuchsia purple color. It's very striking, and it's cool looking, in my opinion. And people seem to enjoy it.
We agree completely.
And
it is available on the website.
Right.
Just go to disneypatch.com. We'll probably have it there. You'll find it in the shop on there somewhere.
Absolutely. We'll probably have it up on our Etsy and stuff too. So if you know us on Etsy, you can probably find it there also. Yeah. Favorite places, real quick. Favorite places to buy pins in the parks. Do you have favorite places?
We have a few. We look at them every ride we go on to, because sometimes they're very specific to that ride too. If you want to see, get one for that ride, you have to get it at that ride that you're at.
Right.
Because that might be the only place that they have it. So if that's if you're looking for a Tower of Terror one, you have to buy it at the Tower of Terror shop.
Yeah.
Basically.
Most of the time.
Yeah. But other than that, like obviously at Disneyland, we're very more specific about it, that there's the pin shop on Main that is always fun, but always crowded.
Always crowded.
But I think they said that it has the largest selection of pins in the park.
That one and the one back in Frontierland.
It feels to me like it has more pins in that
yeah.
one. And it feels to me like there's more lanyards, and they sell Cokes in there.
Wish.
What?
That's like a perfect shopping experience.
It legitimately is. They should have it like buy four pins, get a Coke free.
There oh. you, I'm sure they would love that.
This is not what Disney does.
It is not what Disney does. No. At Disney World, I seem to find that the shop in Hollywood Studios near the front gate has a really good selection.
That is a good one.
That I'm willing to go in and shop at. And like I, we do, you do a lot of waiting at Disney.
Yeah.
A lot. So when you're waiting for your fast pass, it's always nice to walk into an air conditioned room and kind of just shop around for pins in general anyway. So we've done a lot more of that in Florida than we did in California.
Completely
where you just kind of like, well, let's go in here and shop while we wait. So you can find pins everywhere.
Unless you're looking for attention. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train pin.
Yeah, it's so disappointing that we...
And then you cannot find one.
All they have is Grumpy.
Grumpy's the only one, folks.
I wanted like a Happy or, you know, anything other than Grumpy. But apparently people only like Grumpy.
Fair.
Weird.
Yeah.
So just so you know, Disney, I would gladly pay for a pin that was even just a silhouette of all seven dwarves walking across the log bridge from the movie.
Oh, that would be fun.
Totally easy to get all seven dwarves checked off your list right there. Just saying.
That'd be a good idea. We could do it.
But it's like I always say, Pinge again.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.